And there's the music. That means it's time to welcome in our movie reviewer, Matt Olien. Matt, welcome back from vacation.
Hi, Craig.
Matt, we're going to talk about a movie that has already set records as the most watched R-rated film for its debut.
Unless you want to take a deep breath through your forehead, I suggest you reconsider. I'm about to lose everything that I've ever cared about. Not my problem. Is that what you said when your world went to Come again.
This Wolverine let down his entire world.
Matt, of course, we're talking about Deadpool and Wolverine. It has opened to big audiences.
300 million already. Now, wow. I would have reviewed this last week, but I was on vacation. I had seen it over a week ago. So 300 million already domestic for two weekends. That's amazing for an R-rated movie. It's approaching 1 billion worldwide. To say Marvel needed this hit is an understatement. Marvel, in my opinion, has struggled since Avengers Endgame, which kind of wrapped up the first cycle and, quite frankly, the more popular characters, Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, Thor. And since then, we've had an introduction of new characters that maybe aren't quite as popular, I don't think. And we've had a lot of time jumping and alternate timelines and alternate universes. In fact, in this movie, which has a lot of inside jokes, inside the Beltway, inside Marvel, Fox negotiations, there's kind of a criticism that there's too much alternate universes going on. It's hard for audiences to keep track of that. So the first iteration of Marvel stuff, which started with Iron Man, was much more successful. The box office since Endgame has been up and down. This is the hit that they needed, and they're hoping this will springboard them onto bigger things. So the box office has been amazing. I did like this movie for the most part. It's funny. It's got, of course, Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, this bromance between Deadpool and Wolverine.
How does it mix the comedy with the more serious Wolverine? Yeah.
So let me talk about that. So there are moments in this movie I wanted the Ryan Reynolds stand-up show to slow down. I mean, it is the first hour especially is constant one-liners, inside jokes about Marvel and Fox. There's even a Mad Max subplot going on that they kind of spoof. There's jokes about Marvel having too much time jumping, too much alternate universes, too much alternate timelines. So it's almost like you're watching a movie within a movie. It's Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool commenting on Marvel movies. And you're like, how does that work? Well, it works pretty well because Reynolds is so funny as Deadpool. But I did want the nonstop rat-a-tat-tat. In fact, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine at several points tells him to be quiet. And as the audience, I wanted it to breathe a little bit more and stop the stand-up routine. That being said, once the second act and the second half of the film get going, it does pick up for me because there's an alternate universe where past characters that we're familiar with come into play. These are the cameos that everyone is talking about. I don't want to give away too much on the cameos, even though this film's been out for almost 2 weeks. But that is where the film really picks up because it feels like an Avengers 2 where they got the gang back together. They have characters we haven't seen quite, frankly, in a long time on screen, and some big actors grouping up with Wolverine and Deadpool to kind of defeat the evil Cassandra Nova, played wonderfully by British actress Emma Corrin. She's a wonderful villain. She is terrifying in how she talks, and the best villains are British villains, right? There's even a joke about British villains in this movie, so that's good as well. So it's a very funny movie. You might ask, how do they deal with Wolverine, who died in Logan 7 years ago? Again, got to go see it. They do deal with it. All I can tell you is all the jokes about alternate universes and alternate timelines, that's the way to get around a lot of this. Let me just put that out there, and maybe they've overdone that.
Action really cool in this movie?
Action's okay. I thought the CGI wasn't quite as good as some other Marvel films, I would say. What sells the movie is Jackman and Reynolds. They are superstars. They get along well in real life. It's this off-screen bromance that people are talking about. Sean Levy is the director on this one. But the big thing is Marvel needed this hit. And I think they got the hit because they got two big stars. They weren't just casting kind of nobodies in new Marvel characters, which they've kind of been doing a little bit, except for Doctor Strange, which is, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch is a big star. But overall, I think it worked. And the audience reaction so far is crazy that this R-rated movie, which inherently limits who can come to a theater unless you go with a parent.
So, and it is R-rated.
So it is R-rated.
Did
and
it limit
it doesn't,
folks who came?
It doesn't seem like it. I'm sure kids are going with their parents. I'm positive of that, having taken my son to almost every Marvel movie when he was in his teen years. But those were PG. You know, that was Iron Man, Avengers, those kind of things. So, like I said, I wanted the Ryan Reynolds stand-up show to breathe and stop. Eventually, the film does breathe and gets more serious. And I liked it better at that point. So, in a way, the setup kind of works for the more serious things when the cameos are revealed and they become kind of this enforcer group to go after Cassandra Nova and try to defeat her and try to set things right. You heard in the clip, Deadpool is trying to set things right with his life, you know, and that's really another subplot going on, and he needs Wolverine's help. Bottom line is he has to have Wolverine's help. There is a cameo. I was so glad that it came back, and it's from Logan. If people saw Logan, they know there's a character that's very important in Logan to Wolverine's character, and she comes back in this movie, and that was probably my favorite cameo and my favorite thing in this movie. I want to make one more comment about Marvel movies. So I like serious movies. I like dramas. I like downbeat, serious, dramatic movies. I always have, all my life. I never got into Star Wars like some of my friends did, but I will say I think the unnecessary criticism of Marvel movies has gotten over the top by some reviewers, some people I know. You know, Martin Scorsese is, are these really movies? Well, of course they are. So the people who follow these comic books are into it. And I think there's a subtle undercurrent which some reviewers make of almost making fun of people that like comic book movies. And I think that is, it smacks of elitism. I don't like it. Are some Marvel movies better than others? Yes. But in this cinema that we're in, Marvel movies can exist and so can small independent movies. That's all I want to say about that. I think some of the over-the-top criticism is really almost picking on people that like comic book movies, and I think that's unfortunate.
Before we move on, Matt, are there some storylines that are now set up for more?
Yes. Yeah. So if you go to this movie, you're going to see a trailer for the new Captain America movie, which starts in early 2025. Chris Evans isn't in it. The new guy is in it, and we will see if it has the same Harrison Ford's in it. Let me just put that out there. There are some huge people coming up in the new Captain America, which hits in early 2025. Will it have the box office legs that Winter Soldier, that, you know, Captain America Civil War had? I don't know. My initial suspicion is no, but we will see.
All right. Matt, let's move on. I made an editing mistake last week, and we wanted to talk about the movie Musica. It's a movie that you kind of liked.
Isabella.
Prazer.
Prazer.
Mom?
What?
For as long as I can remember, everyday, regular sounds, I turn into rhythm.
She's different. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's funny.
Oh, tell me more.
But now Haley, I think, wants to get back together.
Tell me less.
Matt, this movie personally means something to you.
Yeah. So I saw it on Amazon. It's on Amazon. It's an interesting film about a character played by Rudy Mancuso, who's the writer-director of the movie. He stars in it. His mother, Maria Mancuso, plays his overbearing mother, takes place in the Brazilian section of Newark, New Jersey, which I wasn't even familiar that there was this Brazilian section, but he suffers from something called synesthesia. He makes mention in the clip. He hears everyday sounds, and it becomes a symphony in his head, and he gets distracted. He's talking to his girlfriend in the opening scene, and he's not listening to a word she's saying. And it's really a fun movie. It's a rom-com. Camila Mendes from Riverdale fame is the love interest. She's gorgeous and always great in these movies. So I did like it. The music numbers are good. They're vibrant. The cinematography is good. He has puppets. His character has puppets as well that kind of look like him. So he's kind of this goofy guy who can't manage his messy personal life, and his overbearing mother wants him to date a Brazilian girl with Brazilian ancestry. But yeah, I liked it too because my mind is always swirling. I've memorized Oscar nominees over the years, which is a ridiculous kind of Rain Man.
Incredible
Rain Man thing that I've done over the years. And I do weird things. Like if I see a word, I'll type it like I would on a typewriter, which always is just cluttering up my mind. And it kind of distracts me sometimes. Or I'll see a year and I'll say, oh, what were the best actor nominees that year? So my mind is always working and racing a little bit like that. And I am prone to distraction sometimes, which I've apologized to friends for over the years in conversation. So I can see what he's going through. My mind is always working. It's blurry and it's always at work. And that can be great and it can be a distraction too. But this film was on Amazon. I want to credit my friend Magda Seitz for putting me onto this and say, you need to watch this movie because she has Amazon and I don't. But I was able to see it on Amazon Prime and it is worth a look. So, interesting movie that's on Amazon right now. It is a 2024 release. Rudy Mancuso is wonderful as the lead.
2-for-1 reviews on Main Street today. Mm-hmm. Matt, there's a big movie that's back in town.
Yeah, Lawrence of Arabia, back in theaters, and I'm going to go see it Monday night at 7 p.m., and I'll be out of the theater at about 11:15. It's a long movie with an intermission, but there's no movie in history that looks like this movie. Spielberg described it as a dream of a film when he first saw it in high school, and he famously said he was depressed because David Lean had set the bar too high for him as a young filmmaker. But Spielberg did okay on his own. But it's a magnificent movie. It's breathtaking to look at. And not only that, the great performance of Peter O'Toole. So I'm going to see it on the big screen. I did see it on the big screen in 1989, way back when. But this will be fun to see. And it's at Westacre Cinema in Fargo, Sunday at 1, Monday night at 7 p.m. if people are interested in seeing that.
Matt, today is the 50th anniversary of President Nixon's resignation.
Yes, yes.
What movie won the Best Picture in 1974?
The Godfather Part II.
And who were the other nominees?
Chinatown, The Conversation, Lenny, and The Towering Inferno.
Madeline joins us each and every week for a movie review here on Main Street. Matt, thanks for joining us.
You bet.
Dakota Date Books next.